Good morning. We're glad you're here this morning. We're going to be looking into Romans chapter 14. Continue to move through the book of Romans. Today, I believe that Paul's writings gives us, is to give believers, obviously it's written to the church, is to give believers a different perspective, especially those who may be more mature than some, but there's a lot of message here this morning in his word. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Paul's saying, the weak in the faith, he's speaking of those that are not as mature as some. Those that may even be immature in the faith, possibly new in the faith. And he says, receive those, receive them, but not to the point of disputes over doubtful things. He's saying, but don't argue over things that are insignificant, are not specific in Scripture. The word disputes there is arguments. In Romans 15, 1, he says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples meaning the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. You see, our human nature is to please ourselves. Our human nature is to make our point, to get our point across, or to make sure that we're right and others know it. And Paul's saying to those believers, take a different perspective. Everyone is not at the same level. Now, he's not making excuses. So if you're not mature in your faith, or you're not maturing or growing in your faith, Paul's not giving you an excuse to stay there. What he's telling people to do is to pull others up. To pull others up, to bring them along, to help them grow in the faith. Verse 2, for one who believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. He's saying some people may believe, I don't need to eat meat. I shouldn't eat meat. And he's saying, well, other one says, I think God made everything good. I can eat anything. But he's saying, don't make that a dispute among you. Don't make that a dispute. Don't make that, let that be a division. You see, what happens so often in the church is little things create big divisions. Little things create big divisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I didn't mark my pages, so you're going to have to flow with me this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, 24. And 25. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The psalmist wrote the same thing. I just read that earlier. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, Paul writes, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayers. It's set apart. Every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. And so Paul is saying, some people think they shouldn't eat this. That's fine. Some people think they can eat anything. That's fine. Don't let those little things be a division in the church. Verse 4, Romans 14. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Romans 9:20, Paul wrote this. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? You see, sometimes we question God and we don't even realize it. We question God because we have an opinion about something, or we have a perspective about something that's only from one angle, or just our perspective without other perspectives. You know, we say, well, I wouldn't question God. Well, I think we question him all the time. I mean, what's the word why mean? Why this God or why that God? See, we question God, but God, who are we to question God? You see, his word, he created. His word, he brought forth. His word, he gave. And that's for us. And that's to us. And that's with us. And that's what we don't question God. We obey God. You know, that's one of the things talked about last week. Abraham and Moses' obedience. They certainly had something to question God about. They could have questioned him big time, especially Abraham. But he didn't. And Paul says, who are we to question him? Verse 5 of Romans 14. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and he gives God thanks. You see, we honor God in different ways. There's many ways to honor God, and everybody doesn't necessarily honor him in the same way. Is unless it conflicts with Scripture. You see, God looks at the heart. He wants to know what your motive is. What is your motive for not eating a certain thing? Or what is your motive for eating anything? What is your motive for celebrating this particular day in such a way? Or what is your motive for not? What is your motive? You see, God looks at the heart. It's about the motives of the heart. And this won't be on the screen, but I want to share it with you. Luke 18. This is an illustration of what I'm talking about. It's about the motives of the heart. This is about the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's a story Jesus told. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes. You see, the Pharisee stood. This is the Pharisee first. He stood and he prayed like this. And I thought it was interesting that he was praying like this. You can see how easily we can be deceived. The Pharisee was praying, but listen to his prayer. The Pharisee stood, prayed like this himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, there's a contrast in prayer. The Pharisee prayed, but I'm not sure what kind of prayer that was, other than it was an eye prayer. You know, he was praying to God, but all he was doing was boasting to God and bragging about how good he was. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, it's about the heart. And that's what Paul is writing about in Romans. It's about the heart. You can be right and your heart can be wrong. You can be right and your heart be wrong. Verse 7, Paul says, for none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We're to live for Jesus. We're to die for Jesus. You see, when it says in verse 7, none of us lives to himself, none dies to himself. You hear me say all the time, we got to die to self. That's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying we don't die for myself. I die for Jesus. I have to die to myself. You see, the Pharisee hadn't died to himself. And therefore, he wasn't dying to Jesus. The tax collector had died to self. He had recognized his sinfulness and confessed it. He had died to self, and therefore he could live to Jesus and he could die to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, that's recognizing, living to Him and dying to Him. I'm not my own. I don't own me. Paul's saying, you don't own you. You think you do? You don't. Why? Because you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time or the rest of his life in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of ways to suffer for Jesus. The biggest way is to deny yourself. You deny yourself. You see, when you decide deny yourself, it costs you something. It costs you something. Suffering for Jesus may mean taking a stand in the face of opposition and adversity, and you may be the only one standing in that direction. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Are you willing to suffer in the flesh for Jesus? He suffered in the flesh so that we could live. Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Romans 14, 9. For to this end Christ died, and he rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Two words there, judge. He says, why do you judge your brother? The word judge there is in the context, it means condemn. Condemn. And the other word is contempt. Why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt? Contempt means to look down on. Look down on. To think less of. You see, Paul is really speaking to those who are mature in the faith, or believe they're mature in the faith, or are more mature in the faith. Because sometimes you've heard me say before, you use the term spiritual arrogance. We can become spiritually arrogant. We can think we know more than someone else, so then we're elevated above them, and so we look down on them. Or we see somebody that's immature in the faith and they say something silly, or you think foolish, and we want to push them away or look down on them. And Paul's saying, no. No, that's not what it's about. We're to reach down and to pull them up. We're to reach down and pull each other up. You know, sometimes you can be the strongest and most mature person in the faith, and there can be a time when you're down and you need somebody to pull you up. That's why Paul says, don't look down. Don't have contempt for others in the faith, just because they may not know what you know, or they may not understand what you understand. You see, the thing, the most critical thing is that we're all growing. And it doesn't matter where we are in our faith or what level we are in our faith, we better be growing. If you're up here, you got room to grow. If you're down here, you got plenty of room to grow. If you're up here, you need to be reaching down here. If you're down here, you need to be reaching up here. It's about elevating each other. That's what Paul is trying to tell us today. Elevate each other. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, meaning like this, that if one died for all, one being capitalized, who's that one? If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for who? But for who? Him who died for them and rose again. He's saying, church, it's time to quit living for yourself. Quit living for yourself. Quit making it all about you and just about you. And start making it about him. Because if it weren't for him, you wouldn't be you. You wouldn't even be here. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. Verse 10, Romans 14. But why do you judge your brother, meaning condemn? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to who? To God. You see, if I want to start judging someone, if I want to start condemning someone else, or I want to start looking down on someone else, I need to be reminded, hey, I'm going to be looking at him one day, and I'm going to be given an account for that. I'm going to give an account for that. As a matter of fact, Matthew says it well. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. For I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be what? Yeah. Just a little reminder. Put verse 36 back up, please. I say to you, every idle word you may speak. You see, what are idle words? I believe that's what Paul's talking about. Sometimes idle words are meaningless or destructive or unnecessary or unkind. See, there's a lot of things in that idle word. And for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in a day of judgment. And you wonder why we need to repent? I need to repent. I need to repent a lot. I need to continue to repent. Because when I look at that verse, let's put 37 up, the next one. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. You speak words of life, you'll be justified. You speak words of death, you'll be condemned. You see, that's why James talks about the tongue and how deadly it is, how deadly it can be. And right here is a warning for our idle words and how we look at others and how we treat others. And how we, the perspective we have of other believers. And in this, he's talking about believers. He's not talking about people out there. And again, when he says judge, he's talking about condemning. Verse 13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. In other words, purpose to do this. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Think about that. Resolve this. Purpose this. Make a decision on this. Not to be a stumbling block or a cause for someone to fall. And I can think of many ways that we do that. Or we can do that. You know, and it goes back to what Paul's talking about, not eating or eating. You know, if you go to eat some kind of meat or whatever, it's going to cause someone to stumble, then just don't do it. Remember, he says, don't put others before you. Think about somebody else before you think about yourself. He said in the scripture, it's time for us to stop thinking about ourselves only. Is it going to hurt you not to abstain from something to keep someone else from stumbling? No. You know, I was trying to think of another example. You know, here's an example. I could go down to the pizza place and I could have pizza and I could have a beer with my pizza. Is anything wrong with that? Does the scripture say I can't have a beer with my pizza? No. But if one of you guys come into the pizza place and you see the pastor sitting there drinking a beer, is that pastor? You see, I could be pleasing myself and enjoying a beer with my pizza and cause someone to stumble. Because, and you know what? The person I caused to stumble might have a problem with drinking. What, a pastor's drinking that beer? I can have one or two or three. You see, there's a lot of things we need to be aware of. And this is what Paul's saying. in this in chapter 14 here. He's talking about the law of liberty. There's a lot of freedom in Christ, but we don't use that freedom selfishly and for our own desires and our own will. We use that freedom to help others and to draw others and to elevate others, not ourselves. You see, there's a lot of freedom in Christ, but many people will abuse that freedom. And just remember those words in Matthew. The things you speak will either justify you, affirm you, or the things you speak will condemn you. And it's the same thing about our actions. The things we do can justify us, or the things we do can condemn us. Because in the end, as he said, we will all stand before the Lord. We'll all stand before the Lord. So, where are you this morning in this? Do you look down on others that maybe don't know what you know about the Scripture? Do you get impatient with those that are immature in the faith? You know, I heard, worship team, if you'll come up. I heard many, many years ago, and it wasn't too long. It was only several months after I was saved. And I was at a Holy Spirit conference, and one of the speakers was talking about people's coming into the faith, and young people in the faith, or not young people by age, but people young in the faith, and people that were young in their faith and immature in their faith. And he said, I used to hear other pastors complain about these babies in Christ. You know, they're running around and saying things and doing things that are crazy or not accurate or out of order or whatever. And they said, they just had contempt for them. And he said, you know, I said, I'd love to have those people in my church. He said, send them over to me. He said, I'll change their diapers. I'll help them grow. And they'll get better, and one day they'll be just as mature as you. Yes. He says, don't put their fire out. He said, yeah, they make a mess. Well, clean up. What do you do with a baby? You don't leave them in a mess. You change their diaper. You wipe them off. You clean them up. Put a new diaper on. And he's saying it's the same way with people in the faith. Problem is when people in the faith don't want their diaper changed. You see, God gives us people in our life to pull us up. And some of you that don't like changing diapers need to get over it, because there was a point sometime someone had to change your diaper, spiritually speaking. And so this is Paul's message this morning. We need to be reaching down and pulling up, or we need to be reaching up and being pulled up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your awesome word. Your word that is truth and life. It's correction. It's direction. God, we love your word. Thank you for your word today. I pray your word touches and moves and has its being in every person in here today. And Lord, if there's one person here today that needs Jesus in their life, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit draws them, that God, they would see their need for Jesus. They would repent of their sins. They would say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. I need you, Jesus. And by faith, I receive you. Lord, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.